Welcome to Father's House in Grantsville, Maryland. The message you're about to hear will greatly encourage your growth in the Lord. Join us as we together open the living Word.
Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, and this is part 2, the healing school. Jesus taught a healing school, and I'm just teaching what he taught. Bottom line, you can't get higher than the wisdom of God. You can't get higher than the knowledge of God. You can't get higher than the counsel of God. You can't get higher than the Word of God. You can't prophesy higher than the Word. You can't preach higher than the Word. I have a lot of people preaching lower than the Word, but we can't go higher. But the Word of God takes us all higher. Amen. Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 7, this is where Jesus is speaking to those he's training for ministry. And Jesus trained for ministry. He discipled for ministry. Do we have it today on the board? Okay, Matthew 10, verse 7. And Jesus said, "And as you go, preach." I love that. "Saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Stretch your hand again, like we did last week. How close is your hand? It's within reach. The kingdom of God is not without your reach. All right. Within reach, every one of us here. The kingdom of God, everything that comes with kingdom living, is within our reach. "Saying, the kingdom of God is at hand." He says, "Pray for the sick." Did he say that? No, he said, "Heal the sick." Prayer gives option in our thinking. You say, "Well, that's how you heal it, by praying." Not if you were here last week. Maybe in certain cases, but not in all cases. He says, "Heal the sick as if you could. Cleanse a leper as if you can. Raise the dead." Cleanse a leper. Raise the dead. "Cast out devils. Freely you have, freely received, freely give." So he says, do it. He didn't say, some of you do it. He didn't say, it would be good if you do it. He said, do it. And you begin by preaching. Because faith has to come before people can receive. All right, now we talked about two beautiful ways. Get the CD or listen to it somehow. Don't just get the notes, because the notes are not as anointed as the preaching itself. Get the CD on part one. We said that the gifts of the Spirit, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit in operation is one way we see healing. But with the gifts of the Spirit, we see it as a commanded action. We don't see it just the gifts of the Spirit flowing as people pray for people, but a commanded action. Rise up and walk. Take up your bed and walk. We see it as a commanded action. All right? Be healed in Jesus' name. That's the gifts of the Spirit, how they operate in the gifts of healing. The gifts of miracle, the gift of miracles always require an action with it. Like putting mud in the eyes and go wash in the pool of Siloam, whatever. There's an action to working of miracles. But healing is a commanded action in the name of Jesus. Let me get back to here where I'm at. Thank you, Jesus. But today we're going to look at other ways that it's healed. Another way we saw healing take place was just by getting in the glory, getting in the glory zone. You don't have to do anything but be there, and healing takes place. There have been times I've just preached on the blacksmith anointing, not even talking about divine healing, and people have come up to me later and say, "I got healed while you were preaching," because there was a glory on that message. Are you with me? So when we're in the glory zone, healing takes place. And I shared the testimony of Ron and Donna Stavala, how they were just worshiping one night. Sight came back into his eye. All the paralysis left his body. And he was healed just by being in the glory. That's the reason why we need to be in the presence of God. Amen. Another way we are healed is the confession of our faith. The confession of our faith. Let's turn to Romans chapter 10 and beginning with verse number 9. Now, this scripture is used in what they called, the Baptists created, the Romans Road. The Romans Road. And that is only partial of salvation. The salvation really comes, we see in Acts chapter 2, with repentance. This was written to really Christians, and it's talking about deliverance. our confession of faith. Deliverance in safe, being safe, deliverance in our health, deliverance from demonic attacks, even deliverance in our soulish realm, even the delivering of our spirit man. It's all aspects of deliverance. Now, let's read this together so we can all get this, if you can. It says that if thou shalt confess with what? Thy mouth. Not confessing with your heart. A lot of people say, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. But the devil has to hear it to flee. If you'll confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, what do we confess? The Lord Jesus. What do we confess? The Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus is the word of God. It's the name of the Lord. We confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That word saved means delivered. Delivered. Let's go on and read verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's talking about deliverance. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So God is saying, if you have faith in your heart and you make declarations with your mouth, you will not be ashamed. You will get results. Amen. Now, that word, salvation, in the Greek, it is a noun. It means to rescue to safety, physically or morally. So, it can mean basically, in a place of danger, you confess and call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. It talks about divine healing. It talks about saving faith. So, how many of you have been in a place and all you had time for was say, Jesus? And you didn't say it as a profanity. You said, Jesus. And something happened. Oh, my God. I was in South Africa, and just me and Melissa and Jessica, my two daughters. And this was one of the most stupid things I've ever done in my life. But we had finished ministering. We had been over there a couple of weeks, and we were staying in a hotel where we could get a good bath in Johannesburg, like the murder capital of the world. And we're staying in a hotel. And right across the freeway was a shopping mall. And I did not like the kind of food that was in the hotel. And I said, we'll take a cab and we'll go over to the shopping mall. And we'll get some good food. Now, if there had been a strong man with us, if somebody was packing with us, we'd have been okay. But we're three stupid women, and I'm the stupid queen because I'm the mother. And so, to make a long story short, we took a cab over there, and we got the food we needed to eat. We also got some supplies we needed. We had to get, like, another bottle of shampoo because you wash your hair, and it was nothing but dirt in the tub because we'd been out in the bush. And so, plus I wanted to clean the room down. I was just, you know. No, never mind. Anyway, we're over there. And so I tell the person at the restaurant, call me a cab. Well, they sent a cab driver. And he was a Muslim man. And we get in the car. And you could see the hotel from where he picked us up. He started taking us out on some journey. And it's starting to get dark. And I'm in the front seat. My two beautiful daughters are in the back seat. And I knew what he had in mind, in my heart. I knew that. And so I did the next most stupid thing I could ever do and start telling him about Jesus. Because I thought, I'm going out and I'm going to give it all I got. And I started threatening him in the name of Jesus. But that's where I was smart. And I just started saying, I have been bought by the blood of Jesus. The angels of the Lord encamp around us. And I'm saying all this stuff, you know. And he fights for us. And at the same time, I'm looking for a weapon. And I find an ink pen, you know. And I thought, I can hit the eye. I can do some damage with this. And at the same time, I'm trying to tell him about Jesus. I'm trying to find a way to kill him. You ever been in those moments? I've only been once. And I wasn't even worried about myself. It was my two daughters. You understand? And they're in the back seat. Just fear all over those poor, precious girls who've given their heart and given everything out. And I'm wondering, is the intercessors back home praying for us? All these things were coming through our minds. And all of a sudden, he pulls up, and there's this big warehouse. Now, the sun's down. It's dark. And I thought he was going to go into the back of this old warehouse. And all of a sudden, he just kept going. And at the same time, I'm still going to kill this guy because I'm going to fight with everything in me. To make a long story short, I'm telling him about Jesus, and at the same time, I'm quoting the Word. You know, I was doing it for myself. And all of a sudden, I start seeing lights up ahead. Now, in Africa, that's a good sign because you get out away from town, and it's dark, it's dark, it's dark. You know, no street lights where we were. And I started seeing lights ahead, and hope started coming to my heart. And he took us back to the hotel room. No fight, no nothing. I, to this day, don't know if me quoting the Word or the Scriptures put the fear of God in him, or he was just running the clock up on his cab. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, that's all I had was the name of Jesus. That's all I had in a ballpoint pen. That's all I had. And for some reason, there was strength in that name. And we got out. My knee, you get out of that place of danger and your knees just turn to water, you know. And I get out immediately, and the girls just, it was like as soon as that thing slowed down, the doors flew open and they fly out the back seat. And he says, "It will be so many American dollars, don't you tell me?" And I said, "No." He said, "So many rand." I said, "No." I said, "I paid two American dollars to get over there. Here's your two American dollars." And I ran, and they were already back in the hotel lobby. The name of Jesus. You never know when you're going to need it. But it will deliver you. That's what this means. It delivers. The name of Jesus delivers. There was a woman in New York, true story. Dave Wilkerson told it many years ago. And this woman was leaving the supermarket, and she had a bag of groceries in her hand, and there was these men that started chasing after her, and she starts walking faster, a little faster, older woman. Finally, she just put her groceries down, and she says, "In the name of Jesus." Well, those guys took off running, and they saw her later, and they came up to her, and they said, "How did you do that? How did you do that?" And she didn't even know who they were because it was dark when they were following her. And finally, she says, "Do what?" And he says, "When you put your hand out, a big sword came out of your hand." The name of Jesus. A little old lady made these two thuds run. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus. So there's deliverance when we confess Jesus. There's also deliverance in healing. Oh, in healing. If you can't pray, just say, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." Proverbs 18:20, it says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth." So with what he says, your belly is going to be satisfied. "And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life is in the power of the," say it, "tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." So we're going to partake of what comes out of our mouth, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. Now, let me tell you that angels are released at the name of Jesus. Angels are released when we declare his words. But also, on the flip side, demons are released when we speak negative, ungodly things. They are released. That's the reason why, if you have fighting in your house, the Bible says where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. Because when you're fighting and saying hateful, mean, and nasty things, demons are being released in your home. Wow. But the flip side, keep Jesus. Jesus in the morning. Jesus at noontime. Jesus when the sun goes down. Keep speaking Jesus and keep an atmosphere of miracles around your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We see in Daniel chapter 9 that angels are sent to answer prayer. Luke chapter 22, we see that in verse 43, I believe it is, angels were sent to strengthen Jesus. Psalm 103, verse 20, it says this, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels." Psalm 103, 20. "Bless the Lord, ye his angels." I love this. David is telling the angels to bless the Lord, "that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." So angels are released. We don't tell angels what to do. We speak the word, and angels obey the word of God that comes out of our mouth. I've had people get very angry and very bitter at God and say, "You know, I thought there's angels to protect." Well, the angels have their hands tied if we don't declare the word of God. We're in charge, not the angels. Hallelujah. Angels are always present when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They're always present, whether it's prophecy. The Apostle Paul says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of..." I love it. They are present. They're present here this morning. Why? Because I'm speaking the word of God. There are angels. I don't know, they could be sitting in the chair next to you, but there are angels. There are angels all around this place. There's an angel at the door. There's angels over here. There are angels encamped around about us this morning. We just can't see them with our eye, but they are here. And if we will just reach out in faith, we will be strengthened. We will be healed. We will be ministered to. Glory to God. Whatever you need, when there's healing that takes place, there are angels that are present. I was at the radio station on the air one day, and I was interviewing a pastor. And then after I got through interviewing him, I had a word of knowledge. I didn't know what it was, but I heard God say, "Ask him to stay a couple more minutes and prophesy to him." And the Lord hadn't given me the prophecy, but I thought, okay, he'll give me the prophecy. So I said to the brother, I said, "Can you just hang for maybe 5 more minutes?" He said, "Sure." We were off the air. And then all of a sudden, I started hearing it in my right ear. Now, usually I hear it in here, generally. But I was hearing it. It was like somebody was speaking into the right ear. And I was telling this preacher what I was hearing in the right ear. Well, in the on-air rooms, we have glass windows where you can look in from the outside. And there was Eliana, and there was another prophet standing there, and they were having a shouting fit. And I thought, well, God's blessing somebody out there, you know, while I'm prophesying to this brother. And as soon as we finished, and then we prayed, I prayed for this brother, he left, and glory to God. And I asked him, what was going on out there? They said, "There was this angel leaning over, whispering in your right ear. We could see the angel." I couldn't see the angel, but I heard it. Angels. Oh, don't you love it? Angels are present when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. Angels, that's the reason why, if you can just get in the glory and get that atmosphere, sometimes they'll just, their presence of holiness and righteousness and the fire of God will begin to burn and drive out sickness, disease, demons. There, I have been in services where there have been people that were possessed of demons, that when you're preaching the word, they would start manifesting. Right in the service. Weird. You know, kind of disrupts things sometimes, but it's all right. They can get deliverance at that point. Amen. All right. Then the next way, and I want us to be taught this in the last few minutes of the teaching, because this is one of the most misunderstood practices in the church. We have turned it into a religious ritual, and we're not getting people healed because it's become a ritual. And then some places have just given up that are even Pentecostal and don't even do it anymore. And that is praying for the sick. Let's just say, I make an announcement and I say, "We are going to pray for the sick and anoint you with oil. Come on down." We have the music going and we come and we are having people lay hands on us to be healed. And if you see a lot of people not healed, there's a reason for that. Go to the Word. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." Don't mean heaven where the throne is. It means in the heavenly realm where Beelzebub, the prince of the power of the air, is at, okay? So it will be bound in his realm of activity, all right? "And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in the heavens," okay? Because we can't bind God up. We only can bind the enemy up. Are you with me? Okay. "Again, I say unto you that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask," or pray, you could say, "it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven," verse 20, if we had that. It goes on to say, "where two or more are gathered in his name," he's right there in the midst of them. Okay. Now, it has to be the prayer of agreement in action. In action. Say the prayer of agreement. I taught last week, because it could be a question if you didn't hear last Sunday's message, healing is progressive. A lot of people, they don't see the manifestation while they're standing there, and they assume, well, I didn't get it, and then they don't confess the word in agreement for what was just prayed or thank God for it, and then it doesn't manifest as well. That's another reason why some don't get healed. Glory to God. It's progressive. How long? I don't know. It depends. James chapter 5, verse 14. Here's another scripture. "Is any sick among you? What should the sick do? Call for the elders of the church." We have read this. "Is any sick among you? Elders of the church, go search them out." Haven't we? "Is any sick among you? Elders of the church, go search them out." It doesn't say that. "Is any sick among you? Let him," the sick person, "call." Let them call for the elders of the church. The elders of the church would be the pastor, those in leadership. And let them pray over him after he calls for them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Say, "It's the name of the Lord that heals." Now, why is God picky about the order? Here's the reason. It has to be the prayer of what? Agreement. The elders of the church have come to a place, that's why they should be elders, and that's why they're talking about spiritual elders, because they've come to that place of faith and believing. All right? They've come to that faith place of faith and believing. They come to that place of agreeing with the word. So now the sick person must come into that same faith and call for them. Wow. Now, a pastor is not wrong with a pastor searching people out and going to see them and loving them. But unless they do their part, it's not going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. Because it has to be what? The prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement. James chapter 5, 14 is the prayer of what? Agreement. Jesus said this, Matthew 9:22. "But Jesus turned about him, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, rather. Thy faith has done what? Made thee whole." Did he say, "My prayer for you made you whole"? No. He had the faith. He is the faith of God. She had to get to him. Wow. Matthew 9:29. Then Jesus touched he their eyes, saying, "According to my touching you, you're whole." No. According to what? Your faith. This was not even the gifts of the Spirit in operation that Jesus was working miracles here. It was their faith. Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Wow. Mark 10:52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Mark 11:22. And Jesus answered, saith unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Let's say it. Have faith in God. Again, have faith in God. One more time. Have faith in God. One more time. You see, when we pray, the object of our faith is not our sickness, but it's God. We put the object of our faith on the symptoms. We're looking to these symptoms. Have faith in who? Have faith in God. Say, the object is God. See, that's where the miracles happen, is when it's God. Let's just say it's January, and anybody here ever ice fished? Fished in the wintertime? Anybody ever done that? You're smart people. I can't picture carving out a little hole and putting up a pup tent or a little room and sitting there all day staring at a hole pulling fish out when you go buy them at the supermarket, you know. Or go to Red Lobster, just have a relaxing evening in the warmth. But let's say, who can I pick on? Jay. Jay wants to go fishing, ice fishing. Let's just say he does. So him and Doug go ice fishing. Doug says, Jay, I don't think that that ice looks too stable. And he goes. He says, oh, yeah, it's stable. The object of his faith is what? The ice. It's stable. And then he falls through. And Doug's having to pull Jay out of the cold ice water. We would say Jay had a faith failure, wouldn't we? Why did he have a faith failure? Because the object of the faith is the ice. Okay. So, February rolls around. Doug says, you know, I think that ice looks pretty good. I think it's pretty solid now. So he kind of steps out and tries it. You know, he has a rope tied to a tree and around his stomach, and people ready to pull him out just in case. And he slowly walks on that ice, and it's holding him up. It's holding him up. So then he goes to carve a hole in the ice, and he sees the ice is 14 inches thick. You don't need it that thick. You can drive a car. They say on the ice, I don't want to say, I might get it wrong, but not very thick. He has examined that ice. He knows that ice is going to hold them up. He knows it's safe. He knows the temperature outside. He studied it. He studied it. And now he can go ice fishing. That's the way it is. We think the object of our faith is God many times, but then we have a faith failure because really it was a combination of things that really our faith was in. What do? We begin to examine it. Examine the Word. Examine the Word. Examine the Word. And then hear the great preaching, and I don't call myself great, I'm just saying great preaching that would be out there. Anointed preaching is what's great, not eloquent preaching, but anointed preaching. Hear anointed preaching that's going to build and stir your faith, keeping the examination. And then we got to have hope to have faith. And what brings hope? The testimony of Jesus, a sure word of prophecy. People who are testifying. Yeah, I went ice fishing myself. Look what I caught. Look at the results of my ice fishing. Yeah, it's good right now. The testimony of Jesus, the miracles. You begin to saturate yourself in the faith of God, the object of God. Begin to saturate yourself in the results that that kind of faith produces. And then you step out by your confession. You can start confessing the word. Getting in the presence of God, confessing the word, declaring the word. Speaking it when you don't feel good. Speaking it when your symptoms are screaming at you. Keep declaring the word. Keep the worship. Keep the focus. Keep it before you. Keep it in your mouth. Keep confessing it. Next thing you know, your faith is strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's read Mark 11:23 as Brother Chris comes and just strums on the six strings. Amen. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Do we see prayer going on? Do we see prayer going on? What do we see going on? Speaking to the problem. Prayer, when we pray for sick people, most of the time we pray about the sickness. We pray about the sickness. I've heard people say, oh, touch Bertha. Oh, you see that Bertha's got horseshoe kidneys. And there she gets kidney stones about every third week. God, you see that they had to do surgery. They moved a stone out of her that would choke a horse, God. God, we want Bertha. I don't know a Bertha, so I'm just saying it. God, we want Bertha healed. Lord, we know you can make those kidneys, not horseshoe kidneys. God, touch Bertha. She suffered. She had a temperature of 103 the other day. God, touch Bertha. And what's happened? Absolutely nothing. Lord, we know you're Bertha's healer. So touch her. That's religious. First of all, you're insulting God. He don't know that she's got horseshoe kidneys. He doesn't know what her temperature was. You're insulting God. I mean, you go to a doctor and talk to a doctor too much about some symptoms, and they get frustrated with you. How about the great physician? He knows already, right? He knows, he knows, he knows. So a commanded action is saying, in the name of Jesus, kidney stones dissolve now. Be gone from Bertha. Be healed in the name of Jesus. You speak to the problem. It's been said this way: you don't talk to the mountain, or you don't talk to God about your mountain. You talk to the mountain about your God. Speak to it. You have the power of death and life in your mouth. Let's read this scripture in closing. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, shall say unto diabetes, shall say unto heart disease, shall say over financial debt, shall say, put it whatever your need is right there, unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Not doubt in his heart. Notice he didn't say his head, he said his heart. Doubt will come into your head. Don't be condemned when doubt comes into your head. Cast it down. If it stays in your head too long, it gets into your heart. I mean, we have just taken this to believe, well, I just don't believe I have enough faith. I got doubt in my head. Yeah, he didn't say your head. He said your heart. You can have doubtful thoughts in your head. Cast them down with the word of God. But it's talking about the heart. Your heart believes Jesus. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Either it's true or God's a liar. We can stand on the word of God. We can't stand on anything else in this life, but we can stand on thus saith the word of Almighty God. And Lord, we do that today. Let's just stand to our feet. We stand upon your word. We don't stand on Sister Spiritual and Brother Anointed. We stand on the word of God. We stand on thus saith the word that says, by your stripes we were healed. 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 And if we were healed, we are healed. We are healed. We are saved. We are delivered. We're free. Oh, no weapon forged against us shall prosper. No weapon of sickness. No weapon of disease. No weapon of confusion. No weapon of debt. Oh, no weapon. No weapon forged against us shall prosper. Oh, Rabba Shahaya. Oh, it may look like it's prospering, but it's not prospering. Oh, it may look like defeat, but it's not defeat. We're not going under. We're going over. We're going over. We're going over to the other side. Oh, ha-ha. God, if you have to part the Red Sea, you'll part the Red Sea. If you have to cause the sun to stand still, it will stand still. Oh, ha-ha, shaka, bre, shake, yeah, yeah, la-ra-ba-sha-ha-ya. Oh, ha, la-ra-ba-ka-ya. Lord, I thank you. Nothing's too impossible. Nothing's too big for our God.
You've been listening to Father's House. For more information or to download today's sermon, visit us at fathershouse.info. And remember, it is written, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."